You are listening to Midlife with Courage. This is where women in midlife come for inspiration, motivation, and sometimes a little education to help them flourish after 40. Don't forget to hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't miss an episode. Now let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Midlife with Courage. I am Kim Benoit, your host. I'm so happy to have you all here. I'm very happy to have my guest here with me today. Her name is Heike Yates. Welcome to the podcast, Heike.
Oh, Kim, I'm so excited to be here with you today. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. We're going to have a really great conversation today, but first, just tell us a little bit about yourself. What would you like the listeners to know about you?
I'm very passionate about fitness and exercise, which I never thought I would be. Going back 40 years before I started my career, I would never have imagined in a million years that I would be what I used to call hop around in front of people, teaching them exercise, and then make it a profession. That's, I think, one of the things that I'm really passionate about. And I feel that any woman, any age, any shape, and any condition we're in can get healthier, stronger, and more confident in their body.
I love it. So, before we start into your story a little bit further, tell us about a time in your life when you felt courageous or you showed courage.
I think the most, one of the most, I know many of us have so many points, and when we think about it, we go, oh, maybe this one, maybe that one.
Yeah.
I think it was courageous, and at this point, I thought it was probably naive, but I did it anyways. I got a divorce. When my kids were about 4 and 7, going on 8, I felt trapped in my marriage. I felt it was not what I had to basically signed up for. And at this point, this is now a long time ago, my kids are 34 and 37. I had started fitness. I earned about $300 a month. And somebody said, well, I don't know how much would that be in today's money. Probably not that much more because fitness doesn't pay well when you teach classes at the YMCA. But back then I got, I think, $5 maybe. So
Wow.
$300 a month. I had married my first husband because I loved him. We had the best time. We, went out together, we danced, we loved, and I had a great time. And then suddenly I got pregnant. How this sometimes so happens,
Sometimes.
sometimes happens. And I said, okay, I want a dad for my child. And let's get married. And he was 17 years older, which in the beginning did not make a difference at all. But then as we got older, it made a difference because he was ready to settle down and retire. I was like, I'm a young woman. I'm busting loose. I want to explore the world. I want to do things, maybe create a new career. Because originally, I worked for the Foreign Service. And when we married, I started teaching classes. And finding my footing somewhere else. And then I just looked at him one day and I knew I wasn't in love with him anymore. That this had been great, but this is not how I pictured my future. And I talk about it in my book, Pursue Your Spark, as well. I walked into his office, I looked at him, and I had not pre-planned this or thought about it, probably deep down, but I wasn't honest with myself.
Sure.
I walked up and said, I want a divorce because I don't love you. And he felt basically over. It's like, oh my God, what's happened? What's going on? He didn't see it. And it was really sad because he was a great guy. He has since passed away, but he was just a great guy. He was fun and all these things, but he was just not the right partner for me. He also became a great dad after the divorce. But I think really courage was to stand up for what I really wanted and believed in, which was to me, I want to be free. I want to have the freedom, the choices to make that I want for my future. And I didn't feel that I could do this in this relationship. I felt really confined and trapped in this relationship. So, and then I would not recommend it to anybody that went in, said, I want a divorce. Decided this is what I'm going to do. I found myself a new house through a girlfriend that I rented, a new townhouse a little bit further out of town because I couldn't afford anything in Washington, D.C. So like a half an hour out into the boonies, and basically asked my coworkers to help me move with a few things I had. And then I moved and I told him I just moved.
Oh my goodness.
And he said, "What? Wait, what?" I said, "I do not want to be tied to you financially or any other way," which was so naive because I had $300 a month to pay for food, clothing, school supplies, gas in the car, all the things that you need to pay for. But I did it.
But you did it.
And I did it. And I said, "You know what? It's the best thing I've ever done. I would not recommend this route." But it was honest, you know, it felt true to me. I am the kind of person who, when people say, "Oh, you blurt out stuff, you should have thought about this earlier," consequences. But it comes out to me, it's my truth. It's this is what I truly believe. And like with this divorce, I didn't think about it. I didn't contemplate of how would this look like. I just looked at this man that I used to love and I said, "I cannot picture myself continuing this relationship." And off I went.
And you just did, so you are not an overthinker.
Oh God, no. I'm an overplanner maybe, but not an overthinker.
My goodness. I have so many people in my life that overthink everything, including me a little bit, but that to me, that's such a foreign thing to just, it wasn't like you woke up one day and just decided this, but it was very, okay, now that I know this, I need to take action.
Yeah, it was somehow buried underneath me, and maybe some dissatisfaction, maybe seeing what other people were doing or the life they were leading as housewives. And I said, "Ah, you know, I don't want to join the PTA. That's not my jam." But I did coach the girls' soccer team, so I was involved.
Yeah, for sure. So you'd make this decision and you move out, and then what did you wake up one day and go, "Oh my gosh, what the heck did I do?" Or did you just kind of keep plugging away? Tell us kind of how you handled that.
I had the $300 and the universe was looking out for me. A friend of mine worked at a big health club and she said, "Listen, I'm going to quit. I want you to have this job because I know where you are in life. You're living on credit card debt." And she said, "I'm going to introduce you through the management and you will have a full-time job. You will have health insurance. You can bring your kids on the days when they don't go to school. This is the job for you." And lo and behold, I interviewed and they literally hired me on the spot.
Nice.
And so that was literally, whew, okay. Because you get nervous. You're like, "Okay, I can only ha have $300. Where can I spend money? How do I bring the food on the table?" And also, I had a friend back then. Also, I knew her through fitness. She knew what I was going through and she had recommended that townhouse that I ended up renting. And she lived in the neighborhood, and she would say, "You know, I cooked so much food today. Why don't you all come over for dinner? We have, and take the leftovers home because we can't, only three people, we can't possibly eat all this." That's how the kindness of a friend, the kindness and a recommendation of another friend, and I'm very frugal. I still am. I don't buy things I don't need, I don't need stuff. My son always, or has said in the past, he said, "Mom," and he now is a dad himself. He has a 3.5-year-old and a 7-month-old. And he said, "Mom, how did you do that? You put food on the table. We had clothes. I mean, you worked a lot, but," he said, "you still made it work somehow." And I said, "I just paid attention to my money. How much do I have? Where does the money go? Where does it not need to go? There was no money for vacations. How can I make more money?" And at the health club, the more clients, in addition to what I did as a fitness or aerobics director, I could train personal training clients. And that's why I worked a lot, because I took on training clients and I got paid for those clients. And then a little bit later, I started inventing Pilates with Resistaball. And I traveled as a fitness trainer to other clubs to teach them how to use the big stability balls or even my program, Pilates with the ball or with Resistaball, as it was called. And that was extra money. So on the weekends when they were with their dad, I would work my buttski off. And
Love
that's,
that.
and then being frugal, we ate a lot of lasagna, we ate a lot of pasta, we ate a lot of salads.
Yeah. Had you always been interested in fitness? I know you said you didn't want to be jumping around in front of people like that, but how did that come about? Because I love that you said earlier, it doesn't matter where you are, you can always move and feel better physically.
Yep, absolutely. Now, when I grew up in Germany, living in Europe, you do a lot more physical errands, is probably a good way to phrase it. You walk to the baker, you walk to the butcher, you bike to the beer garden, because I'm from the southern part of Germany, so I'm from the Munich area, you bike to your beer garden. And so there's it's already built in. And back then, not a lot of people would, now it's different, of course. People would just use their daily activity as exercise. And when I came to the States and I worked for the Foreign Service, I had all kinds of, I was traveling all over the US because I was only supposed to be here 3 to 4 years in the States. And now I'm here 40 years.
Just a little bit longer.
It's extended the stay. And so then I met my first husband, had my son 50 pounds later. I was huge. I was humongous, but I had no idea of how to lose the weight. So I asked my girlfriends who I met through the kids circle, and I was like, "Well, what do you guys do?" And they're like, "Oh, we're eating less. We're doing this diet. We're doing cabbage soup diet. We're doing whatever else we're doing, over-exercising." And I was like, "Ah, this is all boring. I'm not doing this." But I had no idea. And a lot of women can relate to that. At some point in our lives, especially in midlife, when it's around menopause, we gain weight and we do everything we think we can do to lose that weight. Sometimes it works, sometimes it works for a little while, and sometimes it just never works. So we have then to find what's really working at that age group for us. But so my girlfriend, one of the ladies said, "You know, they have these dancercise classes up at the church in the basement. And if you're my age, I'm 64. You may relate to this. There's the YMCA. They have classes at their facility, but then they also have little outposts, like I call them, church basement, community center rooms, where their teacher shows up with a boombox. Back in the day, we had boomboxes with our little cassette tapes, where we put our music on. So we had music for the class, and you brought your own mat and you brought your own weights so you could teach the class. And so I went to this class in the basement. They also had childcare at the church just because the class was happening. And I went there, and everybody was having a really great time. And I was like, "Oh, this is fun." And I love dancing. And so they started doing their routine, and then they did their thing. And then we did some tummy work, and then we added some weights. So it was never more than 3 pounds, but that was perfectly fine because we were, back then, we were just thinking in the sense of toning, not strength training. And it was just a heck of a lot of fun. And so I went, my son kept screaming at in the nursery. The woman taking care of him, she's like, "He just doesn't stop." And I said, "That's fine. I was like, I'm going to class.
You deal with it. I'm gonna have some fun.
You're here. I want to do these exercises." And I just loved it. And I think the teacher saw how much I enjoyed what I was doing. And she said, "Listen, we're looking for new teachers. Would you be interested?" And at first I was like, "No. I'm not doing the hopping around the class," air quotes. And then my first husband said, he knew I wanted to get out of the house. I felt stuck. He said, "You'd be great. Go teach that class. That'd be awesome." And so he was actually the catalyst for me starting the fitness. He's like, "Go. You'd be great at it. People love you. You're always friendly and smiley." And that's how it got started.
Oh, that's so interesting. I did dancercise back in the day. I love that. It was fun.
Oh my God, the little routine, and then you built on the routine, and it was all the popular songs that you know at that time. It was great.
Yeah, it's
And
an
then,
awesome way to exercise.
yeah, you sweat, you have good time, and you create camaraderie with your other ladies in the class.
And don't
And
you think that's so important? I talk a lot about connecting with other women in midlife, especially. Talk about that a little bit, how you connect with the other women.
well, now through my programs, basically, or social media. But always, when I talk to people, And we connect, whether it's my in-person clients or people that work with me through my virtual programs, they become my friends. And I want everybody to know everybody. And a good example is in my in-person studio that I have still here in Silver Spring, where I teach the other half when I'm not with Pursue Your Spark, is people come in and it's always, and this might look or sound familiar to your people. You walk in the door, you say hi, but you kind of not talk to the other person that's there. And they're like, hi, Heike. Yeah, hi. And then they pass each other without actually exchanging a word. And I noticed that. So I said, we're going to change that. I said, hey, Sue, this is Maria. She's always at the 9 o'clock slot on Thursdays. You're at the 10. You guys should meet because you also live in the neighborhood. And it makes such a difference to introduce people that they get over that shyness of maybe I'm interrupting and I don't know if I should talk to this person. But I guess they trust me to say, oh, Heike is friendly with her. It's going to be good. And
She's
so
okay,
she's okay. She's okay. She's Heike's
yeah.
clients. It's like, yeah. And the same
Yeah.
I do with people in my online programs and my social media. I want people to connect. I want to have a conversation. Getting over, same with social media, Kim, and I'm sure you can relate to that. You post a post, nobody says anything until one person makes a comment. And suddenly people are like, yay, I'm brave enough. I can say something.
Yes. You know, I think it's a lot to do with confidence, which is something I've really been working with people this year. Just having that, first of all, to walk into a class, an exercise, a movement, whatever it happens to be, that's scary. Especially if you're someone like me who, you know, my idea of exercising is walking out to the mailbox to get the mail, you know. But if you're actually walking into this room where you're going to be exposing, you know, how clumsy you might be, or just, you know, but you still want to better yourself. And it's really hard to just walk into a room of strangers. But having that confidence, you gain that from each other is the point that I'm using a lot of words to say.
But think is it's the same with me. I would have never gone to that church basement if it wouldn't have
Yeah.
been for that friend.
Right.
Because I didn't picture myself taking an organized exercise class. But
Yeah.
she thought it was fun, so I said, why not go with her? She likes it. Maybe
Yeah.
I like it. And that's
Yeah.
what I tell women too. If you don't know where to start, if your mailbox walk is the only thing you do, I bet you somebody is going to walk by from your neighborhood. Why not say, hey, I'm Kim.
Yeah.
Do you walk a lot? Can I
Yeah.
come with you? Or
Yeah.
just whatever, you know, you have a beautiful dog or whatever it is.
Yeah, no, that's such a great idea. And there is a lady who walks by our house and she lost her dog and she always stops to pet our dogs and stuff. So I'm thinking, huh, maybe we should walk together.
Don't
So
take action.
yeah,
Do it. Because
I'll have to.
she's lonely now.
Yeah, just some things like that just help build your confidence and get you moving. I love that.
Yeah.
So Heike, when we decided you were going to be on the podcast, I noticed one of the topics you like to talk about is tiny shifts to build momentum.
Baby
Let's talk
steps.
about that because there's so many things, I mean, in all areas of our life, but especially with midlife women, everything's so overwhelming. We have perimenopause, we have empty nest, we have parents who might be aging and having issues. Let's break it down into some little things that we can do to help ourselves.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Ladies, I am so excited about my new venture in this podcast. I'm calling it Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. You are going to get me, Kim Benoit, once or twice a month. I'm going to be getting real with you about the conversations that I have with my guests, and I'm going a little bit deeper. I'm going to bring my own personal experiences into it. I'm going to share what I've got going on in the hopes that you will share right back with me. This is not going to be me just talking in front of the microphone. I want your input. I want your participation. If you go to my show notes at the end of this episode, you'll see a support the show. That is where you can subscribe to Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. For only $5 a month, you're going to get this extra bonus content once, twice a month, and we're going to talk about what's really happening in midlife. I'm going to share my experiences. I'm going to get real. I'll probably get a little vulnerable. I'll be sharing things I don't normally share. So please subscribe so that you can get in on the founding members of this new Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. I'll see you there.
Yeah, a lot of us are in that sandwich moment where, like you said, we have to take care of the parents, but we also have our kids and then maybe grandkids that we want to spend time with. And, you know, this past month was a beautiful month for me, but it was also very stressful because first my brother came from Germany for 12 days. And he's my 8-year-old younger brother. So he's still, you know, 56, but still he's my younger brother.
Yep.
And he took a lot of my time. Mm-hmm. I wanted to spend time with him and I still had my clients and my courses to run. And I said, listen, but I'm taking a few days off just to cater to you. But my exercise fell by the wayside. Then literally tagging along came my son with our two grandchildren. So we had four people in the house, two little people, and I didn't exercise at all. I felt, and I'd be really honest, I felt guilty taking time to exercise because I wanted to spend time with my grandkids.
Sure.
I don't see him that often there. I live in the Netherlands.
Oh.
And so we see him twice a year, and I felt selfish and guilty. Hello, ladies. Does that all sound familiar?
Hello.
To take time for me to exercise or do a weight routine or I don't know, whatever. So my exercise was with a second group was walking to the playground, pushing the swing, shoving everybody in the stroller and scooter and whatever else, and then come back and then make lunch because my son and his wife were still partially working as well. And I said, listen, we have to coordinate this. I have work to do too. My podcast is launching too this week. And it was a little difficult, but I actually ate my own words, setting boundaries. Setting boundaries is really difficult. And to make a tiny move is that you sometimes really have to say, listen, I'd love to do that. And I love to, you know, change the baby's diaper. Mm-hmm. But right now I need this. Whatever this is, I need that cup of tea by myself. Mm-hmm. I need to walk out to the mailbox by myself without somebody dragging along my leg and the baby on the hip. So I would start, you know, tiny shifts in setting boundaries because being selfish, there's nothing wrong with looking out for yourself, nothing for your own needs. And setting boundaries is getting out of that guilt that we feel. None of us should feel guilty. And I said, why are you feeling guilty? Why don't you stand up for yourself like you tell everybody else? And it was hard. So yeah. I feel that when I said, listen, I need to look at my podcast if it's airing right now. At first, I got the look saying, well, you said you were off today. And I said, I need a half an hour. Okay. I had a doctor's appointment. It was the same situation. Oh, you said you were off. And I said, well, I need to go to the doctor. It's hard to get doctor's appointments right now. And if I cancel now, it's 3 months later. And I really need to know. I don't have a thyroid, so it was important. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I mean, they were a little grumbly, but it's taking like the courage, as your podcast is all about, the courage to be selfish and not feel guilty for the choices that are important to you and to speak up for yourself. Mm-hmm. And these comes in all kinds of forms. It can come in, what meal are you preparing? Will you add a vegetable or not? Does the other person that you may have dinner with hates broccoli? So you say, oh man, I don't know, should I do this? But you love broccoli. Mm-hmm. Well, you have a choice to make two vegetables. And then you eat the one you love, or you say, hey, today, that's what it's going to be. If you want something else, make something else. The same with walking. You know, you said, I just walked to the mailbox. Do you know how many people cannot walk to the mailbox? Mm-hmm. This is exercise, Kim. It may be small, but you may not be such a nutter like I am who loves exercise, who wants to do all kinds of things. But you may be the person who is more low key, who says, you know, I like to read. I like to stretch. I may do like some yoga. And my cardio is my walk to the mailbox. And that is okay. I feel that when we're looking, especially on social media, we see these amazing women that are an inspiration to us, which is fantastic. But they're also a pressure point where I should be doing more. I should be looking like her. Why aren't my abs as shaped as hers? And why are my arms flabby? Especially in midlife when the hormones change. You're in that department.
Yes, I am.
This is what you teach with your clients too. And it just is. And yesterday, speaking of this, yesterday one of my clients who's 80 came into the studio and she said, "Heike, I don't know what this is." I said, "You got really great abs." I was like, "I poke in your belly and your abs are on, and you've been working on this and you're doing great." And she says, "Yeah, but then look, I put on my pants and there's all these sausages hanging over." And I said, "All right." I said, "Look at me. When I have tight pants on or a little tighter pants, my sausage is hanging over. It's normal." I'm like, the hormones are changing. Our skin is less elastic. It just is. And she's like, "Well, you're 64. If you say this, okay, I go with that."
She's okay with it. I love it. But then, yeah, I mean that the fact that she said something about it means she's been thinking about it for a while and it's been bugging her.
Yep,
And you gave her
yep.
that permission to just be okay with it. I
Be
love
okay with
that.
that. Because we get older, our bodies change and our bodies are not changing the same. And I'm sure many of your listeners have seen, if they're on Instagram, this 90-year-old gymnast on the even bars. And she's doing this whooping out. I mean, I would never even dream of doing something like that routine. And she's an inspiration. And people are like, "Oh, look at her, what she can do." But you have to also look back. This woman has been a gymnast since she was a child. So since her like 10 years, she's 10 years old, all the way for 80 years, she's been a gymnast. You develop very different bodies and skills and abilities than if you started in your 60s or 70s or 50s, it doesn't matter, because you don't have that longevity of learning that skill as well. Wouldn't you, would I say you would not be successful? No, I wouldn't say that, because who knows? There's Ginny McGill, who is now become a ninja warrior at 70, who is doing the ninja warrior course with her daughter.
That's
I follow the
amazing.
ninja warrior, so I'm like, but I look at her. I would say I'm more or less an athlete, but I would never be able to do something like that. I mean, I have my limitations. And this is where we think of when it comes also to the baby steps. What are my limitations? Well, meanwhile, I have a bum knee, which has a lot of arthritis, so I had to stop running. I have severe arthritis in my neck and in my lower back. Well, a lot of those things I would never want to do because they hurt my body, and I don't want to do things that hurt me just to prove a point.
Just to say you can.
All right, look at me, I can. I'm still working on my handstand though. So I'm chicken on kicking up. So I am still going to keep working on that. But look at people with what their history is. What is your history? What have you done? My parents never exercised, ever. So I didn't learn exercise from them. I didn't teach exercise to my kids until I was starting the classes at the YMCA. So I could pass on that love of exercise to them. And now my son's passing it on to his kids. But yeah.
I have to also point out that I don't know, a month ago or so, I did a podcast about the word just and how we use it to minimize ourselves. And I did it to myself just earlier when I said, oh, I just walked to the mailbox. No, I
Just.
walk to the mailbox. So I just have to
Just.
point that out in case listeners are paying attention and they're going to call me out on it. I'll call
I
myself out on
love it.
it.
I love it.
So,
Honesty. Everybody talks about being authentic, but I have a little problem with this whole authentic business. Be honest. Honest is what I'm
Honest.
looking for. Be honest. We all are human. Even just
Exactly.
you.
Even just me,
It's me.
yes. Awesome. Well, Heike, tell us more about Pursue Your Spark. What's that all about?
Okay, Pursue Your Spark is a framework that I created over the last 12 years for basically everybody benefits from my Spark framework, but specifically the Pursue Your Spark women in my Pursue Your Spark Blueprint course or in my book Pursue Your Spark. Everything's Pursue Your Spark. Make it easy. So the book, the podcast, it is a 5-step framework to help you work through where you get stuck, where you get hung up, where you don't know what to do, and how to get to the next step. And the SPARK stands for scan. So here I am. May I use you as my example?
Sure.
I just, air quotes, walked to the mailbox. Well, what else do I want to do? So let's scan. Do I want to do Pilates? Nah, I don't have a Pilates studio. Do I want to do weights? Maybe, but I'm not really hot about that. But I really like stretching. Yoga could be fun. But how are the possibilities that I get to a yoga class? Am I confident enough and have the courage to go to an online class? Or will I feel left out? Maybe a good thing is I walk to the mailbox twice every day. That's a great start. Baby steps. So I'm scanning what's the possibility. And then I put this into action with a P. I go, okay, let's plan this. Okay, when do I do this twice a week to the mailbox? Do I do one in the morning? I know this sounds super simple, but guys, this is what I hear every day. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. Or maybe I do it in the morning, out and back, out and back. Great. So I planned that this is what I'm will be doing. And then you take action in the spark. Okay, I actually am going to do this. I'm not just talking about it. I will do this. And I will hold myself accountable. Maybe with a checklist, maybe I have gold stars or something like that. It doesn't matter, right? But so you know that you actually did it because we tend to, many women and men tend to not give ourselves credit for what we've achieved because it's so small. Why would I track that? It's just a little walk. It makes a difference because on that you're building. Then we get to the R. The R are the roadblocks. Well, it's raining today. We have a thunderstorm. Oh, I can't walk today. It's really hot today. Let's just use the weather as a good example. So, how can I get around that roadblock? Well, I can get an umbrella, I get a raincoat on, or I just walk in the rain. But I can overcome that weather condition. I can go to the mailbox still, but I have to plan execute it a little differently because now the rain is in the way and I don't really like walking in the rain. Then again, we go back to action. It's great to talk about it, but you're looking out the window and you're saying, oh man, it's raining. Oh, I don't know. It's kind of cold too. That's when we need to take action and put that raincoat on and maybe the boots and do that walk. And then the K stands what I like to call kick ass or actually continue, you know, whatever it is you're doing. It's like actually do what you're doing. And then maybe at that point, you may love it so much that you go 4 times to the mailbox, that you enjoy being outside in the sun or whatever the weather is. I love walking in the rain. That's like one of my favorites. Being out and just say, you know what? I actually feel it's easier. Those 2 times, piece of cake. And that's what you build on. And in my teachings always, it's many women start something and then they get to the finish point and then it's done. Oh, I achieved my goal. I'm finished. I don't have to do anything anymore. And then they go back to old habits and I hear, oh, this program worked. I'll do it again. And I don't want women to do this anymore. Stop going back and repeating. Go back to the step where what was your roadblock? Oh, family dinners. Like for me, I ate a lot of food this past month because we were cooking for everybody in the house. And when everybody eats all the time, you eat with them. So I ate way more than I normally eat. All right, they're gone. Let's go back to our regular portion control. That's what we do. And so I want women to stop that spinning cycle of, oh, I feel great about myself. And now I lost that momentum, or I fell off the wagon, as everybody says. You never fall off the wagon. You make choices. And then when you look at the Spark framework or method, you could say, that action didn't work so good. Let's revisit the action right after I scanned it all and I said, this is what I'm going to do. Maybe I'm better off to take that yoga class. And then you reroute to what works for you individually, any point in your life, no matter what age, what shape, what size, what condition, doesn't matter. And you don't start over. And that's another point I want to make, is you never start over because you've learned from the past, whatever it is you learned. And then you take that with you. Walking makes me feel great. I love to be out in the sun. I want to do more of that. What else could I do that puts me in that mood and that joy?
All right.
Maybe I go biking.
Yeah. I love thinking about it. You don't want to go back, but you just build on what you did. I love that because we have to take credit for what we've already done, even if it didn't work out how we expected or wanted it to.
Good point. How we expect it. What are we expecting to happen? Like what so and so does on Instagram because we did that, whatever she was doing? No.
Right.
Yeah. Well, our expectations about ourselves, we are our own worst critic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes. So tell us where people can find you if they want to know more about Pursue Your Spark and maybe talk to you a little bit about it.
Yep, you can reach me anywhere on social media with Heike, HEIKEYATES. I'm literally everywhere. Or you just say, Pursue Your Spark. I have a little form on my website to contact me. So you can leave a voice message or you can send me a note if you're interested in any of my blueprint course or if you want to get my book, Pursue Your Spark, which is out. And the audiobook is out at the end of the month, which I'm super excited about.
Okay.
So this is also in the Spark book where you can follow the framework. And I give good examples with that. So it's really a reminder as well of how this all works and how it works for anybody. And I'd love to chat with you, like we said earlier, Kim
Wonderful.
and I. Talk to us. Say, hey, give us your thoughts and comments
Yeah.
because we love it.
And I didn't realize you have a podcast as well.
Pursue Your Spark, called Pursue Your Spark.
Okay. It's easy. I do the same thing, Midlife with Courage. That's where I am everywhere. So, yeah. So, is that running now? It's out and people can listen
Oh,
to it?
the podcast has been in action, so to speak, for 7 years.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a new thing.
No. I've been working on my
Oh, wonderful.
podcast for 7 years, and
Okay.
I usually at the beginning I did every week episodes, but then I just got too much. I only have one assistant that helps me with some of the work I'm doing, but with the book writing and the new adventures that Heike does.
Yeah.
It became just too much. So I air every other week. I have
Okay.
guests as well as myself talking about
Wonderful.
fitness, nutrition, and it's all focused towards our midlife and where we are in midlife.
Okay. Well, listeners should check that out as well when they're looking for podcasts to listen to. So, well, Heike, this has been so wonderful. Such a great conversation. You have so many great messages from women in midlife. I know my listeners are just loving this, but we have to say goodbye at some point.
Yes, I know.
So before we do, is there any one last little piece of advice you want to offer our listeners?
Rather than an advice, I would say look within and be true to yourself. Look within and be true to yourself because we're changing. I always feel we're changing what we need, what we want, where we want to go in life every 10 years. And I feel I want something different now in my 60s than I wanted in my 50s. It doesn't necessarily have to do with fitness or exercise, but where is it that you see yourself going? What are the adventures you want to plan? How do you want to take care of yourself? Where is your community? Because as we get older, we become lonelier. Our kids grow up, the grandkids leave, if you have any. The dog may die, like you said, your neighbor, and we become lonely. So where's your community? Get involved with other people, not just women, but it's be true to yourself and find out what it is that you want, not what somebody else want. And you can never go wrong.
Love it. Love it so much. All right. Heike, thank you so much. I hope that I will get to talk to you again sometime.
Thank you, Kim. My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Midlife with Courage. If you liked what you heard, I would love it if you would leave a review. Or even better, send a link of this episode to a friend. Until next time, take care of your beautiful self.